Shalom, today's Daf Yomi is Tamura Daf Chav Tes, Tamura 29. Back in our Mishnah on Daf Chav Ches, Omen Aleph, and also on Chav Ches Omen Beis, there was a discussion of it. Our Mishnah taught that if an animal was mukta, if an animal was set aside to be worship for idolatry, then such an animal is going to be prohibited to be brought as an offering. And not only is it asur on gavi mizbeach, osur mikol shehen, that it's if it intermingles with other animals, then it's going to be prohibiting all those animals. So our Mishnah also taught, what is a muktza that is prohibited to be brought on the altar? Zeh hamuktza akrivo avodas kochavim. This is something that was set aside to be worshipped as an idolatry. So on our Daf Yomi, Gemara brings a halacha with respect to the prohibition of an animal that was mukta, that was set aside for idolatry. It says Rava bar Rav Ada Amar Rabbi Yitzchak. The Rav Yitzchak teaches the following halacha: Ein mukta asur ela chayavdu. So when we say that an animal that's set aside for idolatry is prohibited, it's only going to be prohibited until until the priests of the idolatry actually use this animal for their own benefit, that they work the animal for themselves. But once they work this animal for themselves, then it's no longer going to be prohibited to bring it as an offering on the altar, because we're going to say that once they use it for their own personal work, it's not going to be worshipped for idolatry anymore, and so therefore it's going to be permitted for us to use it for our altars. That's the way Rashi explains it. Ula says in the name of Rabbi Yochanan, that what did Rabbi Yochanan teach? That when is it going to be permitted? Ad sheyim seru l'komrei avodas kochavim. Once it's handed over to the priests for the purposes of eating. However, if they just work it and they don't actually intend to eat it, it's still going to be prohibited for idolatry. In this context, Baha Amar, Rabbi Yochanan, that there's a scholar, an Amora, whose name was Baha. That's the way most commentaries understand it. However, this is problematic to say that his name was Baha, because this is the only place in Shas that this person appears. He does not appear anywhere else. And so the Sefer Yochsin says his name was Basa, not Baha, but Basa. And perhaps some say that this is a reference to Rav Basa Bar Kahana, who is mentioned in Yevamos. But in any event, this person who we'll call Baha said in the name of Rabbi Yochanan that when is the muktzah animal prohibited because it was set aside for idolatry? It's not enough that you just hand it over for the priest to eat, but rather that they feed it the karshine, which is the food of the animal food, which is translated as vetch, that they give this animal food from the idolaters to fatten up this animal for the purposes of the priests eating it. And once they're doing that, it's clear that they don't intend to worship it, and so therefore, for that purpose, it's not considered a muktzah animal anymore, and then it would be permitted for us to bring it as an idolatrous offering. So Amarle Rebbe Abba Ubaha Mafliktu Atuna Ua, he says, are you arguing on Ua? Meaning to say, Ua said in the name of Rabbi Yochanan that as soon as it was handed over for the purposes of eating, it's no longer considered muktzah and it's permitted to be eaten. But you are saying not like that. You are saying that you needed to actually, that they need actually to start feeding it. It's not enough to just hand it over to the priests for the purpose of eating, but they actually have to give it the karshine, the vetch. And once they're giving it the karshine, then it's going to be no longer muktzah and it's permitted to offer as an offering. So Rabbi Abba asked Baha if he was arguing with the position of Ula in the name of Rabbi Yochanan. So Baha said, no, I'm not. Well, I'm not arguing with Ula. Ula nami ki ka'amar hu deshafile karshine avodas kochavim. Ula is actually saying the same thing. Ula and I are in a complete agreement. When Ula says that it was handed over as for the priest to eat, he was talking about a situation where, how do you know it was handed over for them to eat? Because they started feeding it the vetch. So it was only at that point, not just handing it over, but they handed it over for the purposes of eating. And that's how Ula knows that it was no longer mukta for avodas kochavim. So says Rabbi Abba, Yada Baha Shanuye Shmaita. Baha knows how to understand this teaching, this statement that of Rabbi Yochanan. And were not for the fact that he had gone up to the land of Israel, he wouldn't know how to answer it. Why? Because the land of Israel is what caused him to know how to answer it. So Rav Yitzchak said, no, it's not like that. He said, Baha is actually from both Babylon and Eretz Israel. He was a Talmud Chacham from both Babylon and the land of Israel. And so it was not necessarily the case because of Eretz Israel that he was able to learn it. And the Tani Rav Hananya Talk Hamed Rabbi Yochanan that there was another way to interpret this. A muktza asur el achayasu bo ma'isa, that Rabbi Yochanan says that the muktza is going to be prohibited for idolatry only once the priest, it's no longer going to be prohibited once the priest did an action for it. It wasn't enough to hand it over exactly the way Baha explained it. Hu tani la v'hadar amar la mai ma'isa, and he explained, what is this action? Only once they start working it for their own purposes, then it's no longer going to be considered mukta for idolatry. One of the basic ideas here is that the dispute between Rabbi Abba and Rabbi Yitzchak was whether or not Baha was considered to have gained his knowledge from Eretz Yisrael, and that's the reason that Rabbi Abba said was the Eretz Yisrael Garmoy. Tosfos says that this is because the land of Israel was able to cause him to become wise, and this position is as a result of Rabbeinu Gershom points out that it's because we learn in Bava Basra 158b that the Eretz Yisrael, the Avir of Eretz Yisrael, the heir of the land of Israel, is Machkim, it makes one wiser. And this is the concept that there's a spiritual power to the land of Israel, that just being in the land of Israel is able to elevate a person's Torah study. Just being in the presence of the land is going to transform us spiritually.